Welcome to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. We trust this message will encourage your walk with the Lord.
There is a, this is an interesting title probably to put in front of you, Making Pickles, Not Cucumbers. You're probably wondering what in the world it is that I'm going to talk about today. And so I wanted to jump into this topic, and we're going to be really spending a little bit of time today in the Great Commission. So I know this is a passage that you all are very familiar with, but hopefully there's a little bit of a refreshment in this time and maybe looking at this a little bit in a new way today. So some questions that I just want to throw out during our time today for us to consider, and I'm going to pose these questions and then just ask the Lord to help us kind of think through these things today. What is discipleship? Maybe that's the overarching question that we're going to get into today. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Maybe on a personal level, what in life consumes me the most? And how are disciples made? So as I've been spending some time looking at Matthew chapter 28, maybe that's the question that I've thought about the most is how do we make disciples? Let me pray for us and then we'll jump in. Father, thank you for this time today. We thank you for your word that's living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. And it pierces us, divides even joints and marrow, Lord. And, we thank you that it's breathed out by you and that it instructs us and guides us. And so we ask that it, as we just spend some time thinking and meditating on your word, that you would speak through your word and speak through your spirit to help guide us along a way where we could know you more. We would be encouraged and motivated towards making you known to others. And we would be able to help other people in this as well, help students in our ministries across the country, not just students, but physicians as well, to be making disciples in their context. And so, Father, to that end, would you speak and guide us this morning? We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the most important question that we're going to talk about this morning is what's the difference between a cucumber and a pickle? And, you know, not being with you all in person this morning, doing this over Zoom, I didn't get out a jar of pickles and a cucumber because I think most of you probably know what a cucumber is and what a pickle is. But the difference is what I want to hone in on for just a moment here. You think of a cucumber, my wife grows cucumbers in our backyard. We have a couple of raised beds and do just a little bit of gardening. And when I say we, I mean her. But we love just gardening, having a few cucumbers. They did pretty well this year. But there's a difference between that cucumber and a jar of pickles. And so the main difference is putting that cucumber in a substance, I believe it's called brine, but it's this vinegar-based solution, and you put some spices in there. And you think about how that pickle is made. It's made more than just taking a cucumber, setting it on your kitchen counter, and hoping that it turns into a pickle. You've got to put it in the solution, and you got to keep it there for a while. You need time. You need it to be completely immersed in. You can't take a cucumber, simply dip it into the vinegar solution, the brine, and hope that it comes out tasting like a pickle. It takes time. It's got to be completely sealed in a jar. And so we'll come back to that in a moment. You might still be asking, what in the world does that have to do with the Great Commission? But there's a connection, and that's an illustration that I can't take credit for either. It's an illustration that a friend in the Navigator shared with me as it relates to the Great Commission, but I do want to talk about it a bit today. So thinking about cucumbers and pickles, we'll come back to that in just a moment and make the connection. But let's also read the Great Commission. And so I'm just going to read it here. Hopefully you see it there on the screen. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Again, a passage we're familiar with. So the 11 disciples, they traveled to Galilee, to the mountain in which Jesus directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age." So we're going to look at some of the highlights of the Great Commission here real quickly. And then we're going to focus in on one word and one particular instruction here in the Great Commission. Most of you are probably familiar. You've probably heard many talks on this passage, but I think it's interesting just to point out some of these things, just to kind of get us going and thinking about what Jesus was telling his disciples, remember, after his resurrection. What's interesting is the disciples went to the mountain that Jesus had directed them. So the disciples were not perfect people. Sometimes they got it right. Sometimes they didn't. But in this case, they showed up to the place that Jesus asked them to go. And that's an important part of discipleship, obedience. It's interesting that some of them worshiped. And I'm always encouraged that this passage says that some doubted. How encouraging that is to me to know that some of these heroes of the faith, people who were following Jesus, had some doubts. And, you know, you heard there in the bio that I work with students in Indianapolis, international students for one, but then also with the medical students involved in CMDA, and some of them doubt. And it's okay to have doubt because it's obviously clear that many believers do have doubt. Jesus came near, even despite all of that, came near to them and said, "All authority has been given to me." And so everything we talk about today is done under the powerful, wonderful, and authoritative name of Jesus. Often, I will tell you there in verse 19, you heard that my wife and I, our first assignment with the Navigators was in Japan. When I first came across the Great Commission, it's like my understanding of it was probably somewhat of a wrong understanding of the Great Commission, was that the emphasis was on go. I was in a church that really emphasized unreached people groups and going to them. And that is there. Jesus does say that. But when we think about the context here, we're thinking about a group of disciples that had gathered together. They were spending time together. That's what they knew. They'd spent so much time with Jesus, spent time with each other, that Jesus is simply telling them to go out. Hey, don't just stay here huddled here together in fellowship with one another. That's important. But go out and make disciples. And so I've heard better translations of this as being as you are going, or maybe just not better translations, but translations and meaning there that means this is as you're going about your daily life, go and make disciples. Be intentional about this. The emphasis here is on making disciples of all nations. So make disciples. And again, we'll talk more about that in just a moment. Baptizing them. We're really going to get into that word in just a moment. And teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. Some of these things here towards the end of this passage are things that we sometimes forget, or sometimes they're not at the forefront of our mind, that discipleship also means observing, teaching people to observe everything that Jesus taught. One thing that we do, I think, take comfort in, and that I hear a lot of folks really lean into in this passage, is that last verse, "I am with you always to the end of the age." What an amazing promise and comfort that is to us, to be able to know that Jesus is with us always. And often we apply that to different stages of life, to, you know, the hard things that we're going through in the celebrations, anytime Jesus is with us. But here he's doing it in the context of when you're going to make disciples, I'm going to be there with you. So let's go back to that question. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Again, the emphasis is on making disciples, not necessarily ongoing. And disciples are made. Disciples are not born. Jesus is always very intentional with his words. And we have to know that disciples are made. And anytime you make something, whether it is making a pizza, making some type of craft, whatever it is, that's a process. It doesn't just appear. So disciples are made, not born. Third is baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that Jesus commanded. So just what does it mean to follow Jesus? I think Jesus here in this passage, after his resurrection, instructing his disciples, gives us some hints to make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe everything that Jesus commanded. You know, sometimes when you work in ministry amongst college students or in any context, really, and the topic comes up of discipleship. How do we do discipleship? How do we make disciples? Well, Jesus actually, I think in this passage, gives us many more hints than maybe sometimes we think about. Sometimes we think of different programs. Sometimes we think of different creative ways to do this and illustrations and things like that. Well, really, Jesus gave us the blueprint here in this passage. And so I do want to talk about part of that blueprint, maybe that we don't talk about quite as often, and that's baptizing them. So the word baptize there literally means immerse. The definition of baptize means to immerse. Now, I want to be careful just to know, for you to know today, I'm not going down a rabbit trail, or my purpose today is not to convince you of the right mode of baptism. You can certainly maybe use this passage and some other passages to come up with those arguments at another time, in another setting. But really, I want to focus on what's Jesus saying here. Why is he using the word baptize in the Great Commission? Well, he says, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So literally, if we think about that word meaning immersion, it means to just totally surround people in the Trinity, in the Father, in the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so when we think about the Trinity, what does it mean to be immersed in the Trinity? That's not something I'd probably naturally wake up every day and say, how will I be immersed in the Trinity today? Well, I think one of the ways, there's a couple of things that stick out to me, even from this passage. First, I think of who is the Trinity? And the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the greatest example of perfect unity and love that we could ever think of. That's the example. So I think there's an element here of being totally immersed in the triune God. And that means to be totally immersed in his perfect love, love between Father and Son and Father and Spirit and all the connections, right? To be totally immersed in that kind of love. But also we see in the rest of this passage in Matthew 28, to be totally immersed in his teachings. Jesus follows that statement up with saying, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And so being totally immersed in Jesus is more than just a quick appointment with Jesus, and then I go about the rest of my day. It's no, even to the extent that I would follow all of his teaching, all of the things that he taught and things that he modeled and the examples that he set and the way that he talked to people, I would be totally immersed in that. So back to pickles. Pickles, again, the way that they are made is you have to take a cucumber and you have to put it completely in that brine. Again, think about this for a moment. If you were you didn't have any knowledge of how pickles were made and you just tried to experiment and you said, okay, well, I'm going to take this cucumber and I'm going to dip it in this solution, this brine. And you just dip it in, you take it out and you eat it. What do you have? You have a slimy, disgusting cucumber is what you have. And so I think that illustration captures the idea that this takes time. This takes a full commitment to being in something and completely surrounded and covered by it. And so the question today, this morning for us, I think on a personal level for each of us, and this is something I try to ask myself often, is what am I immersed in? Or what are you immersed in? Because the reality is probably all of us are immersed in a number of different things to one degree or another. Working with medical students on campus, I can pretty much guarantee you that the students that we work with are immersed in their studies. And that's not a bad thing. This is the Lord's sovereignty and a plan, at least for these years of their life, to be in medical school, to be students. I don't want to de-emphasize that. That's definitely one thing. But there are things in our lives that we might be immersed in that aren't so healthy. And we might start to taste like those things. It could be bad friends. It could be social media. It could be politics. There's any number of things. And I'm not picking on any one of those examples that I just said. A lot of those things are not bad in of themselves, but when we become immersed in them, then we kind of become like that cucumber that turns into the solution and starts to taste like the solution that it's immersed in. And so the question, I think, just for you to consider, hopefully for your encouragement today, is what am I immersed in? What is it? I can tell you one of the things that I'm immersed in, and this is not a moral statement of good or bad. Mentioned the ages of our kids. We have kids that are 10, 8, 5, and 3. We are immersed in parenting. And so that's just one of the things. But I think that's good for us to know, you know, especially some of those other things. Is it social media? Is it politics? Is it some type of, is there something that I'm addicted to that I'm totally immersed in? Because what happens is we start to taste like that. Now, on the other side of that, when we are immersed in the teachings of Jesus, we should start to taste like Jesus, just like that cucumber starts to no longer taste like just a normal cucumber. It tastes like a pickle, and all the substance and the spices and whatever else might be in that solution, we start to taste like that. So question is, sometimes this is, we need to ask ourselves and just kind of have a reality check with ourselves. Am I a cucumber or am I a pickle? So when we continue to look at this question, how are disciples made? I wanted to start with us just thinking about, what does it look like for me to be a disciple? What does it look like for me to follow Jesus and to be totally immersed in him? Well, this also relates to how we disciple people. And so as I think of our works in the Navigators for one, but also in CMDA and the students that we interact with, that we want to disciple, we want to help them to follow Jesus in their context as they're continuing med school, as they're becoming physicians, residency too. I don't want to forget that as well. How do we make disciples during that time? And I think first we need to start with the question of who do we disciple? It's not always an obvious question. You could make the argument we're to disciple everyone. And I think that's absolutely true. And yet at the same time, as we think about our capacity, our limited capacity, and where God is moving on campus, one of the things that we look at is who is a FACT, and that's an acronym: faithful, available, compassionate, and teachable. Do we see students around us that seem like, yeah, they're hungry for the Lord? Maybe that's a summary of this acronym FACT, is that they're hungry for the Lord. They will show up for a meeting. If we reach out to them, they'll respond and be interested in learning about the Lord. They'll be available, which is a hard thing for medical students to say, yeah, I know that I'm a full-time student, but my relationship with the Lord is important, so I'll be available to meet with you. Somebody who's compassionate, and I don't mean perfectly compassionate, but somebody who seems to have a heart for the Lord and a heart for people. And then teachable, somebody who's going to receive instruction first and foremost from the Lord, but also from those that are discipling them. And so that leads kind of to the next question. How do we immerse students into the Trinity, and how do we teach them to obey it all? Well, I have a couple of ideas. Again, going back to the Great Commission, I think we're told some of those things, but making sure that we surround students in a loving environment where they are just, they are understanding and learning about the Lord's love for them, and that their identity is in Christ, right? That they are a new creation, and that they understand that they are children of God. So there are some spiritual disciplines that we even focus on, and that I would even encourage you with as well. Again, knowing that Christ is at the center of our life, but also the Word. Do students know how to spend time with the Lord in his Word? Do they know how to pray? Are they engaged actively in fellowship and in witnessing? And are they living out a life outwardly that shows their obedience to Christ? Now, none of these are going to save these students, but these are things that help us to think about how can students be immersed totally in the Christian life. And so these are things that we talk about. Just how do we just help students to do some of these basic disciplines? And this can be applied, not, I'm talking about students a lot because that's my context, but to anybody. Can we show folks how to spend time in the Word, how to be in fellowship, how to be in witnessing? I mean, again, not that it's always going to be a perfect balance of those things, but the more of those things are active, the more we're going to taste like Jesus because we're immersed in him. We're totally in. So all of this immersion, again, is in the loving Trinity. Just looking at my time here, I'm going to tell just a real quick story about Angela. Angela is one of our students in Indianapolis, and she is now a third-year student. I think that's correct. Yeah, she's a third-year student. But when she was a first-year student, she reached out to myself and to Betty Treese, another associate staff here in Indianapolis, told us a little bit of her story, how she had considered either going into ministry or going into med school. And once she made the decision to come to med school, she really wanted to find somebody to disciple her. And so she started meeting with Betty Treese regularly, and it was amazing to see her reach out to her other classmates. You could tell that she just had a burden for her classmates that didn't know the Lord. Well, as Angela started to reach out to the students, they started doing an investigative study. I believe they used the Chosen series as kind of a way to learn about Jesus. And sure enough, later that school year, maybe in the spring, I believe it was, one of the students she was reaching out to decided to put her faith in Christ. And that's an exciting story, and we should praise God for that. But I think what was impressive is that Angela didn't stop there. She didn't say, okay, awesome, the task is done. I have led someone to the Lord. She said, no, I'm going to make a disciple. And so she started showing this other student how to spend time reading in the Word, how to develop a heart for the lost, for other classmates. And what happened was there was a generational effect that was put into place. That student started meeting with other students and sharing faith. And I think to this day now, it's amazing to see that student is discipling someone else, I think a first-year student. And so it's amazing to see the generational effect and the multiplication effect that can happen when we spend time intentionally making a disciple. And so I share that story with you just as an encouragement to think, wow, you can literally start with one student. And when Jesus says make disciples, this is what he's talking about. He's talking about spending time and showing someone how to follow Jesus so that they can show someone else how to follow Jesus. And it's amazing. Sometimes that starts out slow, but if you ever do the multiplication on this, you'll see that things start to grow quickly. And so now we're looking around here in Indianapolis at the local ministry thinking, wow, where did all these students come from? Seems like there's been a kind of this rapid growth, especially the last couple of years. The numbers have just kind of increased at a very large amount. How did this happen? Really happened on this level of one student discipling another. So two questions that I want to leave you with today, just to ponder and think on today, is more of just for your personal walk with the Lord and your relationship with him. Am I going to be a cucumber or a pickle? Again, going back to cucumbers, am I somebody who has appointments with the Lord, kind of like that cucumber that's dipped in to this solution and then brought right back out? That's literally kind of that slimy cucumber. Slimy, man, that's a hard word to take sometimes. Maybe slimy is not, maybe it's a little harsh. But am I a cucumber or am I a pickle? A pickle that is totally immersed in the teachings of Jesus, all immersed to the point that I start to taste like Jesus. We talk about the aroma of Christ from Scripture. It's a similar concept, right? Do I taste like Jesus? Do I everything about me resemble Christ? And then another question to think of today, just more of the outreach-minded application here, is on campus or as an organization, am I going to make cucumbers or pickles? It's easier in many ways to make cucumbers. It's more time intensive, and different challenges come along the way in making pickles. But I believe from the scriptures that the scriptures are true, that Jesus calls us to make disciples. So some thoughts there just to leave you with today. Let me just say a quick prayer for us along these lines, and then we'll finish up our time today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the call to make disciples. And I pray for strength and wisdom and help that comes from you, from your Spirit moving in our lives to be able to make disciples among the nations. So Lord, would you help us to do that? Would you help us in our own lives to be fully immersed in you, and not just a do more attitude, or I need to do more in my Christian life, or this feeling of guilt, but instead being totally immersed in your extravagant and amazing love for us, the triune God who's full of perfect and amazing love for us. Would we be immersed and totally enthralled and excited about your love for us? So to that end, Lord, be with us and help us in this great commission. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.